Yeah, that's, I know, it's my fault, right? They're all blaming me. Cool. If you need a Bible this morning, go ahead and lift up your hand, and one of our ushers will get a Bible to you today. If you do not have a Bible, this is our gift to you. Take it home. If you just forgot your Bible today for whatever reason, you can set it back on the counter, and somebody else can use it next week. Go ahead and lift up your hand. We're in James chapter number 1 this morning. We're continuing a series that we're calling Life According to Jim. And so we're going a verse-by-verse study through the book of James, and we're very excited about the book of James because the book of James is a study, is a book of the Bible that's just full of real practical wisdom, and it gets us to the place where we need to really be thinking about, am I living out my faith? Am I acting out my faith? Is my faith just something in my head? Is it just something in my heart? Or is it something that people are able to see and observe and be blessed and be encouraged by? Those are some of the things that we're talking about. Because the reality is this, if your faith and your belief system and what you think about God and what you think about Jesus and what you think about his word and spiritual things, if it's just in your head, if it's just in your heart, it may bless you. That's wonderful that it blesses you. It's not doing anybody any good around you. And part of our mission is to be helping people become loving followers of Jesus Christ, to go and make disciples. So we need to be impacting other people. And what people are looking for today are people who are real, people who are genuine, people who really get it, who understand it, who know it, and to the best of their ability, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they are living a life that is pleasing to God. So to be a real place. I was looking at an article this week that a friend of mine shared, and it was talking about just this, you know, this tendency that we can have in church today, and even, you know, even in churches like ours, where we gravitate toward, like, we want it to be cool. You know, we just want church to be cool. We want Christianity to be cool. It's not about being cool, it's about being real. And our prayer for this church is we want us to be a real, genuine, transparent congregation, family of faith, family of believers on this adventure, on this journey together to be all God wants us to be. So James is a great book of the Bible that helps us unpack a lot of this. So we've talked about trials, we've talked about temptation, we've talked about wisdom. Today we've got a really neat message that's going to be referring to listening. In fact, the title of the message is Listen Up. Listen up. Now, that's the politically correct title. The real title, the subtitle is Shut Up and Listen, all right? But that's a little too harsh, you know, that's too harsh. We don't want to be too harsh. But the reality is, listen up. Listen up. Listen to what God is saying to you. Listen to what God is speaking into your life. The fact is, we miss a lot of stuff because one of two reasons. Either we're not listening, we're just not paying attention. Okay, that's one of the reasons why we miss a bunch of stuff. Another reason that we miss stuff is that we take what we hear and we filter it through our own thought process, through our own understanding, and we don't get where the other person is coming from. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? It's like you can be having a conversation with someone, but not really be communicating with that person. Okay? All the wives are going, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, I'm having a conversation, but I'm not getting through, because sometimes in our relationships, one person is saying one thing, one person is hearing something else, and vice versa. And so we have difficulty communicating, and sometimes we wish we had something that would help us translate what a person means with the words that they say. Don't you wish you had a device like that? If I could just hear someone's talking and not just hear what they're saying, but really get to the root of what they mean. Maybe you'd like to have a device like this one. Check it out.
Hey, are you golfing today?
Yeah.
It's the second time this week.
But you said it was fine.
It is fine. It's perfectly fine.
Are you confused by female behavior? Wish you had a translator to understand what she means? Well, you're in luck. Introducing the Manslator, a revolutionary device that translates woman language into simple man words. Finally, the power to know what she means.
Okay, cool. Let me just check with my wife. Hey, babe, a tea time opened up later. You mind if I go?
Fine, if that's what you want to do.
No go! Stay home!
On second thought, I think I'll just stay here with you and watch The Notebook.
Aw, how sweet.
Now that's more like it. The Manslator uses emotion deciphering technology to help you out of the toughest jams.
Hey, is everything okay? You sound upset.
Why would I be upset?
Forgot anniversary, jerk!
Oh, no way! Happy anniversary, babe.
You remembered.
Come on, of course I did.
Thanks to the Manslater's patented FemLogic processing chip, now any man can decode statements like,
"Are you wearing that?"
"You change, now!"
"Hey, do you want to get some coffee?"
"Me want coffee!"
"Do you think she's pretty?"
"You think she prettier than me?"
"Aw, you're such a good friend."
"Me never date you!"
"I'm fine."
"Me not fine!"
"I'll be ready in 5 minutes."
"Me ready 30 minutes!"
"Do whatever you want."
"No, do what you want."
"Could you rub my shoulders a little bit?"
"No, hanky-panky. Only massage. Be serious."
The Manslater even works on men. Finally, women can learn the deeper meaning of his words.
Whoa.
"Your beauty is stunning."
"Hey, mind if I catch a movie with the guys?"
"You are a lovely, wonderful woman who meets all of my needs. And even though I will miss you, this night I wish to see Death Cop 9 with my bros."
"I'm fine."
"I'm fine. Really. Stop looking at me."
The Manslater can even be customized, with voices of real celebrities being impersonated, like Yoda.
"In much trouble you are. To the doghouse go you."
Or Mr. T.
"I pity the fool who leaves the toilet seat up."
So get your Manslater today. Clarity is just a phone call away.
You need buy me!
So, that'd be handy, right? That would come in handy, you know, maybe from time to time. Why? Because the things that we say don't always translate to the things that someone means. And we get into trouble with our relationships with each other because we're just not listening. Because we're either not paying attention or we're putting it through an improper filter that is not helping us get through to what the person is trying to say. So just as it is in our horizontal relationships, all right, husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, parents and children, the same exists with our vertical relationship with God, and we want to talk about that today. So James chapter number 1, we're looking at three verses today, 19, 20, and 21. So you follow along as I read there today, James 1, 19, 20, and 21. The Bible says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." So as you look at this text again, you once again have this reminder, my beloved brothers. And I don't want to be beat a dead horse. I don't want to be repetitive week after week after week. But whenever James makes a reference to the beloved brothers, it again just brings it all back down to the fact that we are all on this road together. We are all on this journey together. It's one of the great things we see in the book of James. It's one of the great things we see in body life and community life here in the church. We're just all going through this together. None of us has arrived. I have not arrived. I am not perfect. None of us has arrived. None of us is perfect. We're all works in progress. We're all on a journey of sanctification and discipleship and growth. And that means we need to be patient with each other. We need to be gracious with each other. And it's just a reminder that I'm not in this alone. You are not in this journey alone. Believe that. You are just not in it alone. The devil, the enemy, wants to segregate us, wants to isolate us, wants to get us off on our own. But that's not how God built us. That's not how God designed us. We do it together. And I just love him unpacking that again. Know this, my beloved brothers, continue to pray for one another. Then know this, you know, pay attention, get ready. He's going to say something pretty significant. So here's our purpose statement for today. James reminds us to take note of the futility of anger and the value of righteousness as we listen to his word. Listen up, listen to his word. So outline today is really, really simple, okay? Just three words. There's action, motivation, and then demonstration. Action, and then motivation, and then demonstration. So, you know, what do we do? Why do we do it? And then what is that result that we see coming through? In fact, you can look at it simply there. Verse 19, do this. Verse 20, because of this. Verse 21 will result in this, okay? And we see this in different, you know, different contexts, you know, all the time. So most of us are going to eat something after the service day. You're going to go, you're either going to go home for lunch, you're going to go out for lunch. You're going to eat, right? That is an action. In fact, if you're still hungry and you need something, you need to fill coffee or grab something back, please feel free to do that, all right? That is always open and available for you, okay? But we're going to eat. Why are we going to eat, okay? Because we need food, okay? We can't function for long periods of time without food. The body craves that food, and that demonstrates itself out, okay? The result is, you know, we're getting nutrition, we're getting sustenance, okay? There's training, all right? That's an action, whether it's running or exercising, going to the gym, doing various things, okay? Why do we do those things? Well, some of you weird people do it for fun, all right? The rest of us do it because if we don't, we're going to be 500 pounds, okay? So we're doing all that we can. Why? Because we're motivating ourselves to get in shape and eat well and live well. Why? So that we'll have, what's the end result of that? A better, healthier life, okay? Action, motivation, demonstration. So we see that in multiple areas of life. I can give more examples, but I'll go ahead and stop there. So verse 19, do this. Verse 20, because of this, verse 21, which will result in this. Let's check it out. So number one, action. Okay, action. Very simple. We see the Bible says, be quick to hear. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. Now, it's important, and it's not that this can't find application in, you know, this, because this is a familiar text, you know, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We think about that in our relationships with each other. We need to be listening. We need to be careful. And that's certainly a great application. But don't forget the context of where we are. Okay, the context of where we are in the book of James is all about the Word of God. It's all about the Scripture. I mean, you go back to where we were last week, verse number 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. And then next week, we're going to be in verse number 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so in verse both 18, the verses before, verse 22, the verses after, the entire context is about the word of God, the Scripture, the Bible, okay? So when the Bible says here we need to be quick to hear, it's talking first and foremost primarily about this book, okay, about what God is saying. We need to be quick to hear. We need to be quick to listen to the word of God. Do we have an attentive spirit toward the book? That's the question. Do we have an attentive spirit toward the book? I mean, for many of us, sadly, this will be the only time in the week that we touch this book. You know, it's part of the uniform, right? We go to church, so we've got part of the uniform, we've got the Bible. Be attentive toward the book all through the week. Look at this verse, Luke chapter number 8, verse 18. Consider carefully how you listen. Consider that this morning. Let me have you really think about that today. Consider carefully how you listen. Are you listening to God? Are you listening to his voice? Are you listening to his word? We need to be quick to hear. What is our attitude? What's our attitude about the book? What's our attitude about the Bible? Is it something that is just a decorative piece? Or is it that which we really are committed to hearing from God day after day after day? Let me encourage you. Let me challenge you this morning. Find time this week. Find the time. Make the time. We make time for things that are important to us, right? Absolutely. All the time we do that. Make time this week for the Bible. Make time this week for the Word of God. We need to be quick to hear. All right, number two, we need to be slow to speak. All right, so quick to hear, slow to speak. We've been given two ears and one mouth, right? Coincidence? I don't know, you know. Two ears, one mouth. We need to be slow to speak. Again, the context is key. We do not stand as one who speaks in authority over these words. We do not stand in authority over these words. These are God's words. Now, have any of you been in conversations like this? Where you're having a conversation with your wife, your husband, or, you know, coworker, somebody like that. You're having this conversation, and midway through their part of the conversation, you've kind of tuned them out because you already know what you're going to say to what they're telling you. Anybody ever done that before? Anybody? Anybody want to admit it today? All right. I do this with my wife all the time. All the time. Drives her crazy. See, I'm not perfect, haven't arrived yet, and this is one of my things that I do. She'll be talking to me and I'm like trying to fix it and I've got the answer to her question. She doesn't want an answer to the question. She just wants me to listen to her But what am I spending my time doing? I'm formulating, you know, my response to what she's going to do. All right, same thing can happen with the Lord. We're not really listening. We're already, you know, thinking ahead of what we're going to do. Just stop and listen. Be quick to hear. Be slow to speak. Take the time. Take the time to let God's word through God's Spirit enter into your heart, enter into your life, and let it allow you, let it transform you and teach you as you go through. Proverbs chapter 17. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent and discerning, if he holds his tongue. Even a fool is thought to be wise. You've heard this statement before. Better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Heard that before? Hey, better to be thought a fool than open your mouth. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. We just need to listen. We need to not get into this big dialogue. We just need to listen. I remember reading a book several years ago, and it was a book about the Christian life and the Christian walk and things of that nature. And I remember a very provocative book, provocative author, and it was either a chapter title or it was within one of the first chapters. It was Stop Praying. Stop praying. It's like, whoa, like, stop praying. Like, prayer is what we're supposed to do. And he unpacked that thought, and the thing he was trying to get across is, we're, you know, all of our conversation with God is just, God, God. You know, we're just like constantly, take some time to listen. Take some time to take in what God is trying to, you know, we're so busy talking, and we're not spending enough time listening. Be quick to hear. Be slow to speak. What is God trying to tell us? True in life, true in human conversations, true in divine ones. Okay? And then slow to anger. Okay? Slow to anger. So quick to hear, slow to speak, and then slow to anger. Okay? Sometimes we don't like what we hear. Sometimes we don't like what we read. Sometimes we don't like what God has to say. I put this quote on Facebook last night. I shared from a good friend of mine up in Reno, and it was basically, you know, sometimes God says no. Sometimes God's answers to prayers are no. We don't like that. It's not anything that we would desire, but sometimes God's answer is no. And when God says no, we have two choices. One choice is to accept and believe that God is enough. God is enough. And even though he says no, it's enough, okay? The other way to respond to that is to believe that God isn't enough and try to find our own way and make our own way, and it's at that point we'll find out who our real God is. That's powerful, powerful stuff right there, okay? And there are so many times we don't like what God's, we don't like the path God's put us on. We don't like this journey that we're on. We don't like this circumstance that we're in. We don't like what God has to say to us, and sometimes we get angry about it. And he says, be quick to hear, be slow to speak, be slow to get angry. Again, certainly it finds application in our horizontal relationships, but we're talking primarily about our relationship with the Lord. So sometimes the word is, we don't like what we hear. Sometimes it's personal. Sometimes it's convicting. Sometimes the Bible points out things that we need to change, and we don't like that. And so sometimes it's easy to get anger. Be slow to anger. Contemplate the message from the word, and don't shoot the messenger, all right? Look at this verse, Galatians chapter number 4, verse 16. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? This is the Apostle Paul speaking to this church. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Sometimes the truth hurts. Let's just be honest. Let's be real, like we talked about earlier. But we need to be careful about being angry about those things, okay? So action, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, okay? Number two, motivation, okay? Motivation. I love this, verse number 20. For the anger of man, okay? So why be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger? Why? Because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The failure of man's anger. Your anger will not take you to where you need to go. Your anger will not take you down the path that God has for you. Your journey, your adventure that you're on, being filled with anger is not going to get you to where God wants you to be. It will never lead you down that path. Now, really quick, there is such a thing as righteous indignation. There is such a thing as righteous indignation. The greatest example of this found in the Bible is Jesus in the temple. Jesus enters into Jerusalem triumphantly. This is before his crucifixion. And he sees all the money changers. He sees all the nonsense happening in the temple. And he starts throwing over the tables. He makes a whip and he drives them out. Not really the picture we oftentimes think of Jesus. Jesus was mad. Jesus was upset. Jesus was angry. Okay, but he didn't sin. Okay? Righteously indignant. And there's lots of things that we can be righteously indignant about. Okay, terror and death around the globe. Man, it angers me to see the hatred and all the wickedness and the vileness that people are doing to each other all around the world. I love going to the movies. You know, these theater shootings that are happening around the country. Terrible, terrible. Righteously indignant. How about the slaughter of the unborn and the selling of their body parts? Righteously indignant. Okay? There are things to be angry about. The Bible says you can be angry and not sin, Ephesians 4:26. It is possible. But let's take a step back and let's keep it real and let's be honest with ourselves and say most of the things we get angry about are not things that relate to being righteously angry about. There are things that usually involve ourselves. It's more exemplified by pride, by arrogance, by not getting our own way, by frustration, by impatience, right? That's oftentimes when the anger, the emotion of anger begins to manifest itself. That will get you nowhere, the Bible says. Look at it again. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. There is no victory in that. There is no freedom in that. And no matter how justified you might feel in your anger, you must know that will not produce the righteousness of God. So, what does this imply? Okay, it implies the exact opposite. Okay, that there is a fulfillment that can be found in God's purposes. We can't find that fulfillment in our own anger about stuff, but we can find fulfillment in God's purposes for us. God has a plan for our life, and he's going to reveal that plan through his word. He's going to reveal it through his word. He's going to reveal it through his spirit. He's going to reveal it. We need to be listening. We need to be paying attention. God has a plan for your life. God has something special he wants to do with your life. We're going to miss it if we're either not paying attention or we're taking in the information and filtering it through our own understanding and not getting the message. Getting bothered at God is not going to serve his interest in your life nor your own. Let me use another example that I think will just be helpful. It's this in this horizontal relationship with our children, with our kids. I have three children. Several of you here have children in your home. Some are out of the house. Some are, you know, all different places. But what do we want for our children? We want the very best for our children, don't we? Can we agree on that? We absolutely want the very best for our children. Now, we make mistakes, and we fumble, and we falter, and we do things that, I wish I could hit the rewind button on that. Wish I could take those words back. Don't ever be afraid of apologizing to your children, by the way. I've done it several times. Be better and bigger than that. Don't be filled with pride and say, I'm not going to apologize to my kid. Apologize to your children, okay? That was free. That was not in the notes. But listen, we have this longing desire. Like, I will do anything, you know, for my child. I just want them, their best interest is what I have in mind for them. And so what do? We instruct them. We help them. We set up boundaries for them. We tell them they can't touch things that are hot. We tell them they can't play in the street. We tell them they can't have cookies after 10 o'clock at night. We tell them all of these things. And it's not because we want our children's lives to be miserable, although they think that sometimes. You're just trying to take all the fun away. No, I'm trying to protect you. This is not good for you. It is not in your best interest to have a cookie after 10 o'clock at night, nor mine. Right? And we get that. We understand that. But we, as adults and teenagers, you know, older, God looks at us the exact same way. And God is saying, look, I've got these instructions for you. I've got these things for you. I've got a plan for you. And I love you, and I want the best for you. I'm not trying to rob you of joy. I'm not trying to rob you of fun. I'm not trying to make things difficult for you. I'm not doing these things because I'm upset with you. I'm doing these things because I love you. God's purposes, what are they? Where are they? They're right here in this book. Just as parents are a God-given authority structure designed to bring about the best end for our children, so his word is an authority structure in our life to help bring about the best end for us. So what's the action is, listen, the motivation is God's best. God's best for our lives are found here in the book. All right, the third one, last one, demonstration. Demonstration, you have a rejection of the evil. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. I've got several scriptures. Let me just flip through them, and you can jot them down in your notes if you want. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Off with the old, on with the new. Okay, this transformation that's taking place. Next one. Colossians 3, 8 through 10. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Next one. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then one more. 1 Peter 1, 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. These are the things that begin to take place when we start listening and paying attention and understanding and humbly submitting ourselves to God's plan for our life. One of the problems that we get into, one of the things that I struggled with as I was growing up with legalism, is we totally reverse this process. We start with the demonstration. We start with, okay, I'm going to start doing all the good things and not doing all the bad things, and hope that by doing them all on the outside that eventually that will kind of make its way into my heart. That's not how it works. The Bible says it starts from our heart. It starts internally, and it begins to express itself in this way. And people begin noticing a difference. Like, wow, what's going on with you? You don't talk the way you used to. You don't do the things you used to. You don't organize your schedule the way you used to. What's going on with you these days? It's because of what God is doing in my life, what God is teaching me, what this book is showing me as I go through my own personal journey and adventure of faith. The word there, filthiness, it's interesting. Therefore, put away all filthiness. The original Greek word is actually a word that is closely related to a term that refers to wax in your ear. That's a great visual, right? I don't have a graphic for that, by the way, so I'm going to save you from that, okay? But think about that. You know, the wax buildup, clean it out so we can hear, so we can listen, okay? It will keep us from hearing properly, okay? So there's a rejection of the evil, and then there's the acceptance of the word. I love this. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. How do we accept this book? How do we accept his word? We accept it meekly. We accept it humbly. We say, Lord, I'm a student. I'm a student of your word. I'm a student of your book. I'm a student of this Bible. I don't come to this book as its judge. I don't come to this book as its authority. I allow it to be an authority in my life. That's where so many people struggle with that today. So many people struggle. We set ourselves up. Well, I like this part. I don't like this part. This part is good. This part is bad. We treat it like a buffet. talking about food again. All right, we treat it like a buffet. We go through the buffet, and we like this. We don't like that. We like this. We'll try that. I'm not sure if I really like that or not, but I'm going to try a little piece of it on my plate just to see if I like it. We treat the book the same way sometimes. We become its judge. We become its authority, as opposed to humbly accepting it and the implanting of it, the implanted word. So this idea of letting it grow in our hearts. Something that has to be watered. Something that has to be nurtured. I've been a strong proponent for many, many years throughout my ministry of quality over quantity. I'm not impressed with someone who reads through, you know, an entire book of the Bible in one sitting and can't demonstrate how it impacted them 24 hours later. Take the word, bring it into your life. If you're here and you say, boy, I've never actively, faithfully, consistently been in my Bible. Where do I start? Okay, you start this week by reading either a proverb a day, you start by reading a psalm a day, you start by reading the Gospel of John, and you begin developing that and see what happens in your life. The implanted word, water it, nurture it, and see the difference that it makes in your life. James reminds us to take note of the futility of anger. Don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at his word. Don't get upset with him because he's not doing things the way that you would like them done, the way that you would lay them out, and the value of righteousness as we listen to his word. Action, motivation, demonstration. Charles Swindoll, in closing, Charles Swindoll wrote this book called Stress Fractures. You throw that up there? Next one. There it is, stress fracture. That's not a great picture. Anyway, stress fractures, okay? Biblical splints for everyday pressures. And one of my favorite Bible teachers, one of my favorite authors, I read all of his stuff, okay? Chuck Swindoll. I grew up listening to him on the radio. I was going to bed. I grew up in Chicago, so WMBI. So at 9 o'clock, Charles Swindoll was on. I'd go to bed every night listening to Charles Swindoll. I was weird back even then. So in this book, he tells the story. He's a pastor, and he's got a very busy life, and he's got a very busy schedule, and he's got lots of demands and lots of things, and he found himself going through a season where he was snapping at people. He was snapping at his wife. He was snapping at his children. He was getting impatient with them, and he was really feeling convicted by this. He says these words, "Before long, things around our home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up style. It was becoming unbearable." He continues, "I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. She began hurriedly, 'Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast.'" So sensing her frustration, like he could tell, like this, you know, his lifestyle, his schedule, his busyness was really infecting and bleeding into his home, he told his daughter, "Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly." And her answer, it was something he says he'll never forget. She said, "Then listen slowly." Bam! Drop the mic. You know, there she goes. Okay? "Then listen slowly." I think we need to take a pause. I think we need to take a time out. I think we need to take a huddle. We need to take a moment of reflection and just ask ourselves the question, are we really listening? Are we listening to the voice of God? Are we listening? Are we reading his word? Are we listening to the promptings of his spirit? Are we paying attention? Are we quick to hear? Are we slow to speak? Are we slow to get upset when it doesn't go our way? That's a great challenge for this pastor this morning, because I get so busy. I get so involved with so many different things. We slow down and we listen to the voice of God. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Let me just ask here in closing this morning. Say, "Pastor Greg, that's me." Go ahead and hit the lights, guys. Say, "Pastor Greg, that's me. That is me." I'm going to ask two questions this morning. And just by the lifted hand, so I can pray for you here at the end of the service. As we close and then we'll receive our offering to close the service this morning. Say, Pastor Greg, I'm just not listening the way I should. I recognize this morning that my life is just, I got too many things going out and not enough coming in. And I've been challenged this morning to listen to the voice of God, to spend time in His Word, to listen to what He has to say to me, to not immediately start talking back to Him, but allowing His Word to be planted in my heart. That's my prayer this morning. That's my desire this morning. I want to be a better listener. Is there anybody who'd say that by the uplifted hand today? Go ahead and lift up your hand all over the room today. God bless you. Thank you so much. Go ahead and lower your hands. One other question. Because it strikes me this morning that this issue of anger is something that I think a lot of us have faced or maybe currently are facing. Would you be bold enough to raise your hand today and say, PG, I'm just angry about some stuff. I'm angry about the way my life has gone. I'm angry about the way God has organized things in my life. I'm angry about what He's trying to teach me, and I don't really like it. And I'm kind of struggling with that today. And I would like your prayers for me. Is anybody bold enough to say that by the uplifted hand? Angry about a couple things. Would you pray for me? All right, I'll pray for you this morning. Father, I pray for these that have lifted the hands this morning, and I pray, Lord, your blessing and your watch care upon each and every one. Number one, Lord, help us to be good listeners. Help us to not get so busy and so involved with our stuff that we fail to remember that you are trying to teach us. May we be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And Lord, for those who lifted the hand, they're struggling today. They're upset about some things. They don't like how some things are turning in their life. Lord, we've all been there. I've been there. Lord, I pray just your grace. I pray a comfort. I pray a covering over each one this morning who is in that situation. Lord, help them get through whatever season they're in. Lord, if it's a relationship, if it's a job, if it's something financially, something with their home or their children, Lord, just help them, Lord. Sustain them. Hold them up under as they go through this season, as they walk this path. Lord, help them see that anger is not going to bring about God's best for them, but to continue to trust in you. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how it instructs us and teaches us and helps us. And Lord, I pray that as we go our separate ways this morning, that would continue to instruct us and help us. Lord, give victory to those who've struggled opening the book on a daily basis. Lord, may they find time today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all through the week, Lord, to open it up, to read a verse or a two or a proverb or a psalm or something from the gospel, something, Lord, that you can encourage them and plant your word in their heart. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.